Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back to 23 After the Hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Karen Cortell Rice is our guest, our good friend, 12-year plus member of our Brain Trust. Speakforyourself.com, right, Karen?
Absolutely.
That's the website. They can find all your stuff there, your books, The Naked Truth About Selling and others, and your multimedia content, all that, right?
And I've just been writing a series of short, pithy blogs about how to give a great presentation, whether that's a formal or informal time that you're trying to tell what you're telling.
And that's what we've been talking about.
I would really love for everybody to go look at that.
And that, they can find that at speakforyourself.com?
Absolutely.
And click on the blog, right?
Yes.
All right. So part of that series is includes what I call... And a chapter in my book, Karen, where I proves that I agree with you about this, what I call the power of storytelling. Talk to us about that.
Absolutely. And so let me share with you a story. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Joshua Bell. He is an internationally acclaimed virtuoso.
Right.
He's young, he's dashing, he's handsome, and he is currently performing all over the world with a $3.5 million Stradivarius violin.
Mm.
And so he performed a stunning 43-minute program, but get this, during a Friday morning rush hour at a subway station in Washington, D.C., using his $3.5 million Stradivarius violin, standing there looking like he was a street performer. Mm. He had on regular clothes. He had his very expensive violin, but he had the case on the floor in order to get money.
Right.
But 3 weeks before that, Joshua Bell performed to a standing room crowd at the Library of Congress, and he plays often at the Carnegie Hall, where people probably spent $100+
right
to get a seat.
Right.
So there he is. Did anyone stop to listen to Bell in the subway? Did people pay a fortune to hear him at the Carnegie Hall? No, nobody stopped at the subway. And absolutely everybody spent a fortune to hear him at the Carnegie Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what changed? Not Bell. He's the same expert in both settings.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, some of the pieces that he performed at the subway were even more difficult because he had to do them without the orchestra. It was
right.
All a cappella.
Mm-hmm.
So what changed was obviously the setting. The same content, but vastly different context. So we expect the extraordinary at Carnegie Hall. We expect abysmal from the street performer.
Right.
So the deal is, whatever you're selling, whatever your profession, become really clear about your context, your backstory. It's every bit as vital as your content. So it's not just about what you're saying. Are you setting up your picture frame so that people want to spend that $100 and think you're at the Carnegie Hall versus standing at the subway station?
Mm-hmm.
And finally, after an hour, this man played beautiful music. Maybe like, I think he made like a $16, and finally one person stopped and said, "You are the famous Joshua Bell."
What a great story.
So that's a story.
One person, yeah.
The 2 points here. A story gets your message across better than data.
Right.
And we were just talking about the fact that your content is very important. You've got to say something worth saying.
Well, you know,
your knowledge factor has to be there, but you've got to say it in a way that we see that you are who you are.
When I was selling professionally all the time, meaning I didn't have anything else to do for Xerox, for example, and Sears and other companies many, many decades ago, One of the things, one of my favorite closes, I had lots of closes, but one of them was what's called the similar situation close. And the beautiful part about the similar situation close is you can't do it without telling a story. And so people might say, well, you know, they might know that my company is the best in the world. They might feel completely confident about whether my product's going to work out for them. Maybe even the price is good for them. But they want to hear a story. And whenever we're not moving very fast, or if they ask me a question about it, I would tell them a story, and it would be the similar situation close. And so I would tell them a story about how I had helped other people use this product to solve a problem very similar to what you have, sir. And I would tell them that story, and that would make the sale.
That's a great idea.
Great product, great company, but it took the story to make the transaction.
So the story can be very, very powerful. I mean, your listeners expect you to be the expert. They wouldn't be in your room. They wouldn't be in your vista if they didn't think you were the expert.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
you have to go beyond that. They are driven to you by your context. So your backstory and the stories that you tell when you're in their presence.
Yep, yep. Well said. Speakforyourself.com is the website. The books are all there, all the multimedia content, the blog that has this entire series there. I encourage you to check it out, folks, where Karen Cortell Reisman hangs out online. Karen, thanks again. Good job today. Come back soon.
Always. Thank you, Jim.
Karen Cortell Reisman, ladies and gentlemen, she's the best. She'll be back another day. I'll be back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.